thank you for singing that last one as a church. It is well with my soul. And if there's anything that I hope each one of you can say this morning, it is that it is well with your soul. A lot of things wrong in the world. A lot of things wrong in a lot of people's lives. And a lot of things that we would like to probably see a little different. But the most wonderful thing that we can know is that everything's all right between us and the Lord. Typically, on the last Sunday of the year, I ask you to think back over the year to see whether or not you accomplished what you set out to accomplish. And I usually say that some of you obviously will have, because you didn't plan to accomplish anything to begin with. So you made your goal. Most of us probably fell short. I certainly know that I did. I don't really make a practice of making resolutions, but I want to give you a text this morning that I hope that will be mine for the next year, and hopefully it can be yours. It's out of the book of Philippians, 3rd chapter, 13th verse, and only a part of the verse. This one thing I do, one thing. You know, sometimes we get too much on our plate. Sometimes we get too many things going. I sit down every year, usually because the deacons ask me along around the first of the year in one of our meetings, what are my goals for the year? What do I want to see the church accomplish, or where do I want to see it going? And I sit down and write down a few things. I'll write down a few personal things. And then toward the end of the year, I look sometimes through the year, but toward the end of the year, I look and say, okay, how's the scorecard? And sometimes it's not very good. Sometimes there have been some things that have been realistic. This one thing I do, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. I say every once in a while that we cannot go back and change one single thing that has happened in the past. You can't go back and redo it. You can't go back and undo it. You can't go back and change it. No matter how much you would like, you cannot do that. It's impossible to do. We cannot know what we're going to do tomorrow because it isn't here yet. And so what we have is right now, but I find that many people spend too much of their time living in the past, and it's not just for us old people that do that. There are times whenever that we dwell upon the past so much that we forget to be concerned about now. There are times, and I'm not saying that to be critical, that as I look back over my own, as I said, past year, there have been some times when I've miserably failed. I'm human, and I fail. Some of those things you are aware of, and most of them you are not. And as I tell people every once in a while, it really isn't any of your business. And there are some things probably in your lives that have happened that really is none of my business. Now, many times we like to know other people's business, and we want to run other people's business, and we think we know other people's business, but the truth of the matter is we really aren't in a position to be able to take care of their positions. The biggest job I have and the biggest challenge I have is Kent Parson. If I could just take care of him, if I can just get him to where that he understands he's just got one thing to do, and if he'll do a halfway decent job of that, everything else will pretty much fall in place. This one thing I do, the apostle said. Can you imagine this great, powerful preacher bringing it down to say, this one thing I do, forgetting those things of the past, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget them. Quit worrying about them. Quit dwelling upon them. Quit reliving them. You can't go back and change them. You probably did make some mistakes. I said I did. I have. I will probably in the future, but I hope not as many as I have. On the other hand, we have people who seem to think, well, you know what? I've done pretty well. It's all about me. What I have done, what I have accomplished, what I did for the Lord even. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, Lord, I wouldn't have been able to do a single one of those things had it not been for you. One of the things that I think has been in my mind and is probably becoming more understandable to me is the how little I really do and how much he does. That to me just never ceases to amaze me as to what the Lord can do. I truly did. I sit there and I thought, okay, some of you probably saw me look there, looking and find the in the songbook before we got to the song. But early this morning, I thought, this morning we're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul if I have to get up there and sing it by myself. Didn't have to do that. And when Tracy called out 410, I already knew what it was. I'd looked it up. I wanted to be sure I knew the number so I could call it. But what a wonderful song it is to be able to sing and to know and to be able to say, it is well with my soul. How thankful I am this morning for what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do if I can keep my eyes on him. Very little over a lifetime. And I've had some time, I guess, I hope y'all have. I know it's been a very rewarding season for us to be able to commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time when families get together and we have a good time together. And I hope that was what each one of you had the opportunity to do at least sometime. But I hope sometime during that period of time that you had a little time to think about what the goodness of the Lord and of God means in your own personal life. How wonderful he is. How wonderful to be able to say it as well with my soul. There are so many people this morning that cannot say that. There are so many people this morning who do not know that. And that increases my responsibility and your responsibility to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell them about the Savior who was born that the sins of mankind might be forgiven. Listen to what he says. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now that takes a little bit of effort. We've got too many lazy people today, and we like to talk about all those lazy people on welfare. I want to talk about some lazy people who are supposed to be in the work of the Lord, who are just going along for the ride, who just want somebody else to do it all and have it ready for them so that whenever it's time to feast, why, that they're there to eat. Let me tell you something. God did not save you just to escape hell. God saved you to glorify him and to declare his word to those that are lost that they might be able to say, it is well with my soul. God deserves and God expects more out of every one of us as an individual than most of us are willing to give. He deserves every ounce of energy there is about any one of us. And to be able to do that, sometimes it means that we've got to press onward. We've got to reach out. We've got to reach up. We've got to exert some energy. We've got to expend some of our life for Him. For Him. And the first thing that we're going to have to do is not come to church, but listen to Him as His Spirit speaks unto us individually, and then understand that whatever it is that He wants. I was reading, I heard Jimmy Fortune say last night when he was talking. He said, you know, God has blessed each one of us as one of His children with a talent. And y'all have heard me say many times, I never quote that scripture, or I never think of it when I don't look over and see my mom who'd be sitting in the congregation, and I say, and God has blessed every single one of you with a talent. My mom be sitting there shaking her head, no. No, God didn't bless her with a talent. I don't care how many times her son gets up there and says that. Let me tell you something. The Word of God teaches that He blesses each one of us with a talent. Sometimes it's going to be something that nobody else may be able to see or may be able to know. And it necessarily doesn't mean that you don't have one. It's just a case maybe that you aren't using it. And somebody goes, well, I don't know what mine is. Well, ask the Lord. Ask Him. I can't tell you. I don't know what talent He's given you. That's not my responsibility. And again, it's not my responsibility to exercise your talent. My responsibility is to take care of Kent Parson. But sometimes whenever that God has blessed us with a talent, it means that we need to use it. We need to expend the energy that's necessary and to say, Lord, I cannot do it by myself, but I know You can help me and we'll get the job done. I think many times of when the Apostle Paul was still under conviction before he was converted, how that the Lord, as He was working in his heart, was also working in the heart of one of His children and saying, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go down there and you're going to find a man. I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to tell you what to do. God doesn't leave us in darkness and ignorance. God doesn't say, well, you just got to sit there and do nothing. Sometimes God wants us to get up and to go. He wants us to do. I'm always reminded, I used to have a person in the church says, well, you know, I believe the talent God gave me was to fill a pew. Well, Lord, it don't take a talent to fill a pew. And that's not your talent. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to reach out. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Sometimes we need to reach up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to make the effort. I'm willing to run the race. I'm willing and I want the prize, but I'm going to need your help. And I'll guarantee you, He'll give you the help. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. How many, probably not a single one of you here, that sometime or another haven't seen a race. And I'm talking about a race in track events, you know. And watch those runners as they come down through there, and then watch right at the end as to how they stretch just as far forward as they can to be the first one to cross the finish line. And many times fall in doing so. Some fall in victory and some fall in failure. Let me tell you something. So every one of them has run as hard as they could run. They've done the best that they could do. And they didn't get there just because they decided on the spur of the moment that they were going to enter that race. They had spent a lot of time in training and preparing for that. Each one of us as God's children need to understand that to be able to do the work of the Lord, that we need to be prepared. We need to be in training. We need to be able to say, Lord, help me whenever that the time comes for me to use my talent, that I'll be ready for it, whatever it is. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, said unto him, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So one of the things that I would challenge each one of you today is that you study the word of the Lord. His word will speak unto you. That's why he left it here. He didn't leave it here just to take up a little more of our time. He didn't leave it here so that preachers could have it to get up and have something to preach about. He left it here for each one of us to study and to understand. It is a good guide for us. It does help us. There are some things in it. Don't for a second think that you can say, well, I just don't understand it. Well, I doubt that there has been anyone yet who's understood it all. Some think they do. Some think they know it all. But let me assure you this morning that God, if you will speak to him and say, Lord, as I study, open up the word to me. Ask and ye shall receive, he says in his word. He says, you receive not because you ask not. And then he said, you receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. Sometimes we're a little selfish in what we're wanting. Now, I want you to understand this morning that what we need to be doing for the Lord is to glorify him, not us. But in glorifying him, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That's the prize that we should be after. That's the prize that we should want when we finish the race. Is to be able to hear the Lord say, whenever we stand before the great I am, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. A few things. Think about that. We've all lived a good life. Some of us have lived a lot more years than others. But out of all of those years, there are probably only going to be a very few things that I'm ever going to be able to stand before the Lord and hear him say that. But I have the responsibility, and it should be a challenge to me, that as I live today, and if I have days in the future that I can look to him and I can say, Lord, help me that I might magnify you and glorify you, and that I might tell other people about you, that they might be able to say, it is well with my soul. With everything else that we can do, with all that takes place in our lives, there is nothing that comes close to comparing with having the Lord in our hearts and our lives and feeling his presence. Yeah. Every day? No. Not going to happen. Now, don't go out of here thinking the preacher got up there and said, boy, if I just want to walk on cloud nine every day, all I got to do. Well, that's true, but you can't do it. You can't do it. I don't care who you are this morning, and some of you are a lot better in your own minds than I think you are. And some of you aren't as good as probably I think you are. But it is immaterial. What I think is what you know and what the Lord knows. That's what's going to count. But I can tell you this. There aren't many that are much better than the Apostle Paul after the Lord saved him. And you know what he said? He said, every single day, every day, I find that life is a challenge. He said, I want to do good. I want to do what's right. I want to please the Lord. But every time that I try to please him, I find there is another power present that is there to cause me to do what I don't want to do. That which I would do, that do I not, and that which I would not do, that I do. That's what he's saying. Let me tell you this morning, We do need Him. We need the Lord. We need Him every day. Sometimes He's a little stronger in our lives on certain days than He is others. There are some days that as I go along, I think, Lord, I'm not sure where You're at today. Well, the truth of the matter is, I know where He's at. The problem is not where He is, it's where I am. But see what I've done? I put it off on Him like it's His fault. Not so, I know better. Listen, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize, of the high calling. None of you can be called to any higher calling than to be one of His children to represent Him. Think about that. My goodness, I have the privilege to stand here every Sunday morning and present to you the greatest name there has ever been. And what a privilege I consider that to be. I will share with you that a couple of weeks now I'm going to be up to Jeff City, and I'm going to get to go up there and do the opening prayer for the governor's prayer breakfast. Now, I've got a little inside pull there, you know that. So, but I'm not nearly as excited about that as the fact that I get to go up there and I get to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, why wouldn't I be proud to be able to do that? The perfect person, the person that there is no question about what I can tell about Him that isn't good. He is perfect. How proud that is. What a wonderful opportunity for me. They sent me a list of some of the scriptures that are going to be used and what the theme is. And so I'd asked Mike, I said, Mike, now am I going to be limited as to how long I get to pray? He said, no. That was a mistake. Now, let me tell you where I'm going with that, though. As much of an honor as I consider that to be, it's not me that I want to be honored. I want to be able to share with somebody there. It may only be one person out of that whole group of people there, the Lord, that they can say, it is well with my soul. No, I'm not expecting to go up there and convert anybody. Don't misunderstand me there. But I hope that I can represent Him in a way that will glorify Him. That's what's important, people, in every day of our lives. It's not just when we're up there. It's when I'm here. I love to stand here. And I stand before the greatest congregation of people. I'm always reminded of what the wise old man Solomon said whenever he prayed that dedicatory prayer. And he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart that I may know how to go in and out before so great a people. And that's what I think sometimes is that, Lord, give me enough understanding as I work with the greatest people. Here, right here. Yeah. You people are God's children. You people are people that I love. You are people that we serve together. There are times whenever so that I'm sure that you must think, He must hate us by some of the things He says. That's not true. Not true. I love you. I love you. And I want you to have the very best that the Lord has to offer. And He has the best there is. He blesses me. But I hope that I can forget all of the things that have gone wrong, all the things that I've misstepped, all the times in my life that I can be sorry for and I can regret and I can moan and groan. You all can't even begin to compare. Someone once told me, well, several have told me, I need to write a book. Lord have mercy, if I wrote a book, the only thing it'd be an embarrassment to me, because if I told the truth about everything, it'd be sad. I'm not proud of that. But I am proud of the one who's allowed me to be one of his children all of these years, who has given me the opportunity to tell his name to other people. And so one thing that I hope that I can do is forget those things which are behind and look forward to those things which are ahead, looking to Jesus Christ. See, he's the one I've got to look to. He's the one I've got to put my trust and my faith in. And I know this, he has never, ever once failed me. Never. A lot of times he should have. A lot of times he should have said, you know what? The mess you are and the way you've done, you don't even deserve to feel my presence. But I thank him that I can. May the Lord bless each one of you. May you go forth with a determination that you're going to serve him and glorify him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.